Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. As Peter travelled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and tidy up your mat." Immediately, Aeneas got up. All of those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon.
Title this is that Jesus is the Waymaker. Because one thing, if we're going to understand miracles, we need to understand what are their purposes, what are they about? Are they just kind of like random things that God does? Are there things that we can turn off, turn on, as we would like to do? We actually ask the question, isn't it? Do we believe in miracles this morning? And or if we do believe, is that just what we believe, what we think, or do they actually happen today? And I really believe that this passage opens up a little bit of thinking on that. It really starts in verse 31 because the purpose that Jesus has for them is that he's the way maker. And there are different ways that he actually works, isn't it? Through his church and through his people. And we sing a song in church. I think it's a fairly new one. It's called Jesus the Waymaker. And the words go, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are, my God. That really affirms what Scripture says, doesn't it, about Jesus, of all of those things, and 100 more things besides, isn't it, that he is all of those things. He is our healer. He is the light in the darkness. That is who he is, our God. As the verse for that goes on, it then says, standing in the midst of us. That's where he is. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that should give you a little bit of a clue to say, do miracles happen today? Well, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then of course miracles happen today. And we're going to be looking through that, because there are really kind of three ways in which the church finds itself. And the first one of those is found almost in the first word of that passage. And the first word is then. Wow, that's an exciting word, isn't it? Then. But when we see that word in the Bible, what we should do is we realise that actually there's something important before it. And at the beginning of chapter 9, we find that Saul, who later became Paul, one of the greatest Christian missionaries, is breathing out threats of persecution against the church. We saw in chapter 8, didn't we, that the church began to be persecuted. And here we find that word then. So this is after that way. We find the church in difficulty. Now, when we find the church in difficulty, we will find Jesus, the waymaker, will still be at work to take it through those times of difficulty. And we've got to realise that, isn't it? Because we live in a time that's now, in our lives, in our time, where the kingdom is not fully here. It says that the kingdom is being revealed. It's near. It's partially here, but it's not fully here. And that's why, as God's people, you will find yourself in difficulty. You will find yourself getting sick. You will find yourself with circumstances that are maybe beyond your control to get through. But I want to affirm with you today that those things are true. Are those things true? Of course they are. And they're true because we are waiting for the fullness of God's kingdom to come. Otherwise, everybody would experience a miracle straight away. There would be no sickness. You'd start to get a little bit of sniffly clothes. I'd pray and then it would be gone. And life would just be an ease. But that's not where we are. But one thing we need to know is those promises of God. What does he say? Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are, my God. And if you know Jesus Christ today, that is your God. That is who he is to you. And even in the midst of difficulty, Jesus is the way maker. Amen. Who can make a way through those things despite them. He may be the miracle worker that will completely turn around the circumstance for you. Completely. He may not. And this passage really shows us that actually the reason why they're miracles is because they're extraordinary and we cannot predict them. We cannot control them because it's not us that does them. It's Jesus who is the miracle worker. That's who he is. And sometimes he chooses that you will go through that. Other times he heals. Think about Stephen, okay, in the Bible. He was one person. His whole encounter with Jesus was very short-lived. He only ever saw one person become a Christian. That was Saul, who became Paul. But he died. He was not raised back to life. Very short. And yet we find here later on, don't we, with Dorcas, with Tabitha, which is Dorcas, that actually she was healed. She was raised back to life and given life again. You see, there's no logic, no reason, no rhyme, no rhythm, no formula that you can put on this that say a miracle will happen. But do they happen? Well, yes, they do, because Jesus does them. He is at work. But even if he doesn't, he will make a way. He promises, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Let us be bold and say that the Lord is my helper. And many of you will testify that to that in your own life, isn't it? As well as having encountered miracles as well. So the church finds itself, it says, then the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. So we find that it was encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in its numbers. And I call this Jesus, the waymaker at work in what is the ordinary way of the church. It's not been persecuted. It's not in difficulty. But yet the church is still growing. Why is it growing? Because it's living in fear of God. Now, what does that mean? It means that there's an awe and a great respect for him. It's not living in compromise, where it's compromising with the world round it. The people within it are focused upon living a holy life and following Jesus the best that they can. And where that is the case, that should be the standard for a church to live in. It says here that it was encouraged by the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus is in the midst of that church. And it says that they had peace at that time. So the Christian life isn't always about difficult times, is it? There's like just an ordinary operating. But do you know what? We say ordinary. There's no such thing as ordinary with God, is there? Our ordinary, or God's ordinary, is like way extraordinary, isn't it? And that's why this passage says that they increased in their numbers. God was at work powerfully through their holiness, through their faithfulness, and because the Holy Spirit was so present in the middle. He was still making a way in what would be ordinary church. And then the passage moves on, doesn't it? And it says that in verse from 31, 32, verse 33, it says that Peter had left Jerusalem and had gone on throughout that area. And he'd gone to a place called Lydda. And the first thing really about that that you notice is, number one, is that Peter was on the move. Why did those miracles happen? It's because he'd left the kind of like comforts of where he was, and he was going out for Jesus. He was going out to do something. And what we find is that he meets a guy called Ananias, and Peter says to him, and here is the clue about miracles happening. He says, Jesus Christ heals you. He doesn't say, I, Peter, I'm going to pray for you, lay hands on you, and I am going to make this miracle happen. He says, Jesus Christ heals you. Two things are happening there. First, for that miracle to take place, there's a rising of faith in Peter where he knows for certain that Jesus is going to heal him. It's going to happen, no doubt. And he feels it deep within him. That faith is not something he's working up to say, right, I've got to get this miracle to happen now. Jesus led him to that person, and Jesus gave him the faith for that person to be healed. He didn't give him the faith so Peter could heal him. It was Jesus working through him. How do I know miracles happen today? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, of course, if it's Jesus doing it, it can happen and does happen. If it's me doing it, you better start waiting for quite a long time, haven't you? And how do we know that? Because right at the beginning of Acts, it says, he says, my dearest Theophilus, the guy who wrote it, I'm writing to tell you of all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. Began. There's a clue, isn't it? So he's continuing. Acts is showing us that the work of Jesus that he started is continuing on. And my time's getting short. I'd love to be able to go into this more. But if you read through these two miracles, you'll see that actually they mirror the gospel accounts of what Jesus did. The first one, Peter says, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, roll your mat. Anybody remember that story? But the guys drop him through the... Well, don't drop him, load him. And what does Jesus do? He says, son, your sins are forgiven. Well, that's not much of a miracle, is it? Wrong. That's the greatest miracle. Forgiveness of sins. He forgives his sins first. And then just to prove that he's the Son of God and he's got the power to forgive sins, he says, get up and roll your mat up. Off you go. And you see this in Acts, isn't it? So whose miracle is that? Is that Peter's or is that Jesus's miracle? Come on, say it.
Jesus.
Yeah, because he's the miracle worker, not you. Definitely not us. The second one we find, isn't it, where some people here, they must have heard about this miracle and this beautiful lady. a real servant in the church has died. And she was doing good works, it says. And Peter comes. And here, he said that he sent them out of the room. Can you hear this from Mark's gospel? Where it is? It's Jairus' daughter, isn't it? Exactly the same. He put them out of the room. It says he got down on his knees and he prayed. And like Wendy says, how long did he pray? We don't know. But he to have the faith to say to a dead person, and he said, Tabitha, get up or arise. Where did he get that from? I'm glad I didn't have to do that. Totally not. But Jesus is the healer. He prayed, Jesus must have said yes. And he must have known that, isn't it? And so Jesus is the way maker in these extraordinary circumstances. But it's easy to look at that and go, that was great. That's back then. What about now, isn't it? Do we see those things happening, extraordinary things happening today? Well, the first thing we need to understand about them is that, I'll just show you this little quote that I found. A guy called John Piper, he's a pastor in America, very, very brilliant teacher. He said, there are fewer miracles in the Bible than you probably think, but there are more miracles today than you probably know. Why? Because Jesus said himself, didn't he, greater things that you will do, even than he would do, because they're multiplied all over the world. In the Bible, miracles were concentrated around individual people, usually. And in between those people, there was huge gaps. You think about Moses. Before that, there was 400 years of the people in slavery crying out to God to save them. And in Moses, a short period of time, a lot of miracles happened. The plagues, the snake from the walking stick, all these things, the parting of the Red Sea, these miraculous things. And what people did then is look back at that, what happened. And that strengthened their faith, isn't it? And in the same way for us today, isn't it? That miracles may not be as common as we would like them, but they are more than we probably actually realise that happen. How many times, isn't it, has God done something in your circumstances that you was just in a dead end and yet suddenly it's opened up, a way has come out before it? How long have you had to wait for that sometimes? How many times have we prayed for somebody and healing has taken place? But the circumstances we live in are very different to then, isn't it? If a miracle didn't occur then, there was no medical facilities like we have. And that's why often, isn't it, our brothers and sisters in other countries like Africa, maybe Asia and other places, talk to David, talk to Phil and Sandra who've ministered in other countries that don't have the same facilities as we have. Do miracles happen today, Phil? Yes. They certainly do. Now, either Phil is making that up to sort of look good, but he's not. He's an honest man who will testify that Jesus is the same today, yesterday and forever. And we, as his people, we have access to the same Jesus. But maybe our expectation is lower in terms of our faith and where we're at. But they do happen much more than we probably realise. We've had them in this church, haven't we, a few months ago. A lady was very sick. Any rhyme to reason why God healed her and not somebody else? I don't think so. She was in her 80s and said Jesus came one night and healed her. She had a vision of him doing it. And the doctors had said that she'd got no time left. Literally, she was going to be very ill. And she wasn't. She moved on up to Scotland to be with her daughter. So maybe, even though they're not as frequent as we would like, but we always know they're in the timing that God determines, because Jesus is the way maker, the miracle worker, the light in the darkness. So what about those times then when we don't get the the answers we're looking for, when we're still waiting. Because you see, even when Jesus was on earth, he did not heal everybody who was there. He would be in a town, not everybody was healed. Sometimes there were thousands who were healed. They came to him all day, all night, he healed them. Other places he just left. Even there you're seeing that even in Jesus, the kingdom of God was near, but yet not fully come. And we went for a lovely meal at somebody's house last night. And it's amazing, isn't it, the different customs that people have, isn't it? When you go to somebody's house who's not from where you're from, and you're kind of sharing, well, this is how we do it, and they're saying, well, this is how we do it. You really learn a lot, don't you? But we were having our three courses, as you usually do, isn't it? Or was it two courses? No, I think we only had two. There we go, that was different. We should have had three. But one thing that I was really interested in is that one of the people said to me, the way I like to have my main course is I like to have it, and then I'm going to leave it then for about an hour before I have my pudding. I can look at seeing the horror on your face there, isn't it? What do you mean you're not bringing the sweet out now? I mean, who else would do that, isn't it? We're like sat there waiting for the gâteau or the nice cake. And, you know, can you imagine? It's just not coming. You'd be disappointed, wouldn't you? Or you're not sweet people. But I was thinking about that, and I said I'd mention this morning, and I thought, it's not just the fact that, I think for this person, it's the idea of all the food being moshed up together, isn't it? You know, steak and meat and then gâteau. Doesn't seem to be a good mix, does it? It's like what the leftover bin, isn't it? When it's all got the slops in it. Why would you want to do that to your food? I understand that. But the point that I really thought about, and it was really connected with today, is that, you know, we are waiting, aren't we, for what is the better thing to come. When we look at Aeneas in the Bible, he's not here now. He died probably, I don't know, 10 years after or whatever, after he had that bit of new life to walk. Dorcas, she died again, and it was gone. But, you know, Jesus used those miracles in extraordinary times. Because what does it say? Let me just read you what it says. After Aeneas, it says, all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. The same with Dorcas. It says that after she'd been raised, it became known throughout Joppa, the place where she lived, and many believed in the Lord. Why were those miracles done? Because God had got purpose for them. It wasn't just the fact of his compassion, which of course he had for the people, but his purpose was his kingdom. His kingdom is forever. And one day, you might be healed tomorrow of something, whatever it is. But do you know, that's like sticking a sticky plaster on something. Because that's not the main cure. The greatest miracle is salvation. It's when we give our lives and receive forgiveness. When we know his presence moving in our lives. When we know the way maker, the one who makes the way ahead, even if we have to wait. That's the greatest miracle. That's why the most important thing. And yes, there are times in the history of the church and around these times when those miracles were prevalent. Because God was bringing salvation to many people through it. Amen. Times of revival through our church history. God does the same. Yes. And let me just say this as well. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is life, there is healing, and there is joy. And even in our ordinary church, like we had at the beginning, where that presence of the Holy Spirit is present, it says in Hebrews that the kingdom, the power of the age to come, is breaking through. We get little glimpses of it, don't we? Glimpses of his glory. Glimpses of that kingdom breaking in. That's where we see miracles occur. That glimpse where God does something. He changes a circumstance. He bails you out of your own mess. And a chance meeting with somebody. A whole list of thousands of things that God is at work doing. Because there are more miracles today than you probably know.
Amen.
Whatever God does is a miracle.
That's right.
Isn't it? By definition, that's his miracle. But the greatest one is his salvation. And that's the one we've got to make. Why? Because a day is coming when that kingdom of God is going to be fully known. It says, what? No sickness. There'll be nobody who'll be sick. Everybody who's around at that time who knows Jesus will be healed.
Hallelujah.
For eternity. No death. The kingdom will be fully here and miracles will cease. But until that time, we pray, we ask that Jesus, the miracle worker, the way maker, that he will do it.